The title for my sermon today is Healing the Broken. When we review the scriptures about the time prior to the coming of God's kingdom, they offer glimpses of the magnitude of destruction, both of nature and human life. No one has ever lived through something of the magnitude of this nature. I know we are all know scriptures that talk about this, but I thought that I would read a few to get started and paint the picture for us. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 21, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21 to 22, we read, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Even before this point that we read, it's going to become harder and harder to live. When you read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 to 12, it talks about growing deception, wars, pestilences, earthquakes, and persecutions. In Daniel chapter 12, in verse 1, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, we read where it says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up." No, you can sit, Michael. Not that Michael. "At that time, Michael shall stand up, and the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book." If you read history books and you read about what has happened throughout history to mankind, we can get a glimpse of what can be expected, but even with greater ferocity than what has happened before. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 6, Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 6, we read, "Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left." Few men are left. This chapter's heading in Isaiah is about the impending judgment on this earth. There is not anyone that is going to be unaffected by what is going to be happening. The book of Revelation describes escalating seals, trumpets, plagues, all leading up to Christ's return. The key events include the persecution of us, the saints, the rise of a deceptive world power and religious, in both religious and military nature. And they will be demanding worship and control. There will be destruction and slavery. God's judgment will be poured out on a rebellious humanity. And this is just a very brief, high-level view of what is going to be happening as we head towards the kingdom of God. Just from these very few scriptures, it is evident that the final downfall of Satan is marked by his serious wrath. What is coming, no one has been through anything like this, as I said before. And I don't think that it is something that anyone can prepare for mentally. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, God tells us how we, his people, can get through this time. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, to hold on, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. It is going to take the power from God to make it through these times. No doubt about it. The most unfortunate part is that most people in this world do not have access to God, and so they will have to suffer. We know that the time period just before Christ returns, all the nations will be gathered together to fight, and they will be wiped out. We know that if it wasn't for the elect's sake, you and I, this entire human population would be annihilated. But it is because we remain faithful that there is a remnant. That is a lot of pressure that is put upon each and every one of us individually. It is something that we should all ponder and meditate upon from time to time. Now, what about those who are left? I'd like to spend the rest of this time in this message exploring this idea about the time right after the start of God's kingdom, and then also just as the great white throne judgment starts. When all people who have ever lived will be raised and will have the opportunity to live through a different way of life, to understand what it's like to now have peace, to have prosperity, to see life lived without war, without greed and hatred. When the kingdom starts, we read that there are going to be a few people left. We're not told how many, but regardless of the number, I think that all the people will be in the same boat. It'll be one of mental shock for these people. Everything they've ever known, it will be gone. It will be different. You know, when soldiers come home from war zones, many of them are often in a shocked state. They don't know how to fit in with regular society. They have seen things. They have done things that change them on a very deep level. And I don't see how it will be any different for the people of this earth who are left. It will be quite the system shock for them. We are going to see people who are emotionally broken and severely traumatized. But people today are emotionally hurting in tremendous ways. They are ruled by the wrong emotions, the wrong patterns, the wrong thoughts. It's a lifetime of living a certain way of life under the guidance of Satan and having lived through the time where everyone will be worshiping the beast and the false prophet. Again, these are not going to be easy times that these people have lived through. Look at the struggle that mankind endures because of his own self-reliance. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, we read, we've already heard this one this year. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, and who can understand it? So often people's emotions and thoughts are misled. It's so very common. Even for us as Christians, when we are not careful. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wrong thinking patterns take root when God is left out. It becomes nearly impossible to change unless God calls you. Hopefully you've noticed the theme that has evolved this feast. It is one that none of us speakers planned out with each other. But obviously it is evident what God is trying to show each and every one of us. And so we should take heed and to realize that our time is short. Now is the time to pay attention and to wake up. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9, we read what God tells us. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I often go back to the scripture and think about this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's ways of thinking, of doing, of being are so very contrary to what most people do. And turning to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, we see how we should be different than this world. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. Once we are called, the warning to each of us is to choose each moment to forego our own thinking, our own selfish desires of the flesh, and to seek more and more the thoughts, the intents, the attitudes that emanate from the use of God's Holy Spirit, which is dwelling in each of us. But I find it wild to think about what it'll be like for the people in this world. You and I will have our part to play in helping them, guiding them, leading them. But it doesn't stop there. When we peel back the layers of God's plan, we know that all people who have ever lived, they will have an opportunity. It's nice to think about this time when these people will no longer learn war. No one will live outside this way of life that we are living now. Those people who are left alive at the start of the kingdom, those who are going to be raised at the time of the great white throne judgment, think about the chaos that they will feel. Every person who has ever lived will find this type of chaos inside of them initially. They will have serious, intense feelings and attitudes from when they died. Having to deal with these people's attitudes towards each other, I can only imagine it is going to be one of the most challenging things that we will have to do. But that gives us our opportunity as kings and as priests. We are told that our opportunity is to help all these people. Those who will be in the millennium while the kingdom of God is ruling over them, and those who will be raised afterwards. You can think about the people in your own life, the people that you love and care about, the people that you have relationships with. I want to be there for those people in my life. And I'm sure you want to be there for the people in your life. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27, we read something for us. Daniel 7 and verse 27, and the kingdom and the dominion shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. This opportunity is so incredible, brethren. You know, I've always found it so rewarding to help people. But to do so on this type of scale, with the intent for everyone who has ever lived to also become a God being, that truly is a different level of special. If you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 9. We read, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then turning over to Revelation chapter 1 and beginning in verse 6. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Christ is telling us this, and he says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Brethren, we are called to make it. We are called to make it into the family of God, to become these kings and these priests. This is our God-given opportunity. Christ said when he came as a human being that he came to serve. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, he says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our goal, brethren, is not just to make it into the kingdom of God. Our goal, rather, is to continue to help in serving and helping in the plan of God. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7, it's always a fun one to find in your Bible. Wait till I see most everybody get there. Malachi 2:7. It says, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. we will have God's true word as we do today. We will have the Spirit of God to help us guide and direct all these people. Turning over now to Ezekiel chapter 47, and beginning in verse 8. We begin to see how we can do this. Ezekiel chapter 47, and beginning in verse 8. And it says, "Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they shall be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Englam.'" See, my Hebrew is as bad as my German. "And they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed, and they will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food, and their leaves for medicine. The river from the temple, wherever this water flows, will produce life and healing results. The saints, as kings and priests in God's temple, working to help with the restoration of people's health and well-being, shows us that this is in line with what God truly wants: healing and restoration. Healing for the lands and healing for the people. In Romans chapter 8, and beginning in verse 19, Romans 8, and beginning in verse 19 to 21. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Us, the saints, the children of God, will participate in this liberation and this renewal. God's creation is ready and is needing of healing. And it will be through us that this will happen. If you will, turn to Matthew 11 and beginning verse 28. We see that Christ is the first one who has helped us to come to have healing, to have liberation. Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We can have this type of renewal now with Christ. but how much more greater will it be in his kingdom? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, we read, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Christ was the one who was able to make this happen for us and for eventually everyone that has ever lived. For all of humanity. You see, everyone, brethren, needs healing. We are all broken in some way. Through sins, through physical issues, through emotional or spiritual pain and suffering. No one gets out easy. Christ's ultimate sacrifice was one of love by laying down his physical, perfect life for everyone. This sacrifice tore down the separation between God and man and made it possible for humans to be healed on a level that is impossible, physically speaking. So the rest of this message will be on healing. The greatest problem, the greatest issues in this life have always been about relationships. Relationships with God, relationships between people, relationships between nations. The opportunity that we will have to help people heal and mend and grow is going to be tremendous. So many times in Scripture we find that God and Christ want people not to hurt. They want people to be healed physically, mentally, and spiritually. Let's look at Psalm chapter 147 and verse 3. Psalm 147 and verse 3. We read, "He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds." That's what God wants. He wants to heal their brokenhearted. He wants to bind up the wounds of people so that they heal. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Christ is quoting Isaiah 61. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And then I will also read Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, where Christ was talking about. Isaiah 61, and beginning in verse 1. Slightly different here, but this is what it says. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Man has suffered tremendously. God has allowed humanity to try their own ways. And it's led to war, injustice, heartbreak, suffering. And yet God's purpose in all this is not about abandonment, but rather it's so that mankind learns that only God's ways bring about peace and healing. It is through trials, through tests, through global suffering, that people are being prepared to see that God is the one to be glorified, that he alone will be the one to bring lasting healing and restoration. We see this in our own lives at times, don't we? There is a reason that we go through problems in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 6 to 7, 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, we read, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What we suffer is so small compared to the greatness that is going to happen for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3-5. Romans 5 and verse 3-5. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us." Step by step, growth happens in stages and not all at once. We have to endure these things, not only for ourselves, but also so that we can help these people in the future. Our job in the future will be to help this work of mending, to help people get through their old wounds and help them to heal. As God beings, brethren, we will have this ability. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12. "Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." This refers to people helping to heal divisions, to restore that which was broken. In the spiritual context, it means that we in the church are called to be peacemakers, reconcilers, agents of healing, helping to restore relationships with God, helping to restore relationships between people. You know, repairing a breach in a wall doesn't just mean rebuilding it, but rather requires strengthening the area in which the breach occurred. We are going to be part of those who are helping to strengthen people through biblical teachings, through right ways of living. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12, Christ says, Matthew 9 and verse 12, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Everyone who will be raised will need healing. Mercy will be front and center at this time. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." Christ is the Son of Righteousness. And this healing spreads through his reign and through us, his people. And for the last scripture, turning to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain." This scripture, brethren, should fill us with hope and with longing for this time. We will, brethren, be those who help guide people towards emotional and mental and spiritual healing. And when I look at the meaning of this day, it helps me to draw inspiration to keep pushing on. I want to be in God's kingdom to help all these people, to help them to become God beings. Those people who I know personally, those people that you know personally. Don't just do this way of life for yourself. Do it for those who don't know better yet. Do it for those who have already died and will have the opportunity when it comes. It's not going to be easy to continue to live. And we know it will become harder and harder. But brethren, the truth is that we are all called for a purpose of service and help, to help all people. So let this provide us with the fire and the zeal that we need to keep pushing forward.